So I'm here, I'm Natalie Peters, and I'm here on June 8th with Mrs. Zella Hamilton, and we're in Aberdeen. And Mrs. Hamilton, anywhere you want to start, you want to start with your childhood? What do you first remember about being a child in this area?
Mercy day, I don't know when I first remembered. I believe it was up on Phillips's Mill Road, and my father was a miller, and I went to a one-room school. Is that what you
want? Yes, that's exactly what I want. So tell me about that school.
Charles don't even want to hear that.
No, well, I just don't want to bother you. That's
oh,
all.
You don't
let you concentrate
me.
A little bit.
Tell me about your school. What do you remember
about
school?
Yeah,
And you were
that's
the
all,
young one.
Yeah, that's all interesting to a lot of people, sure.
That's what we want to hear.
Thank you, Charles.
All right.
Well, we lived on Phillips's Mill Road, where my father had the mill and ran the mill. I don't remember that, but only faintly. And because he had passed, I guess he had passed on then. And I went to school in a one-room school.
How did you get there?
I walked.
How far was it? Was it a long walk?
A mile and a half. And we thought nothing of it because we all did the same thing. And when I finished the seventh grade there, I went to Jarrettsville High. And you wouldn't believe it, but I rode horseback or drove, one of the two, whichever. If it rained, I went in the buggy. And if it didn't, I went horseback. I graduated from there in 1917, June 1917, and I went to Johns Hopkins University, and I finished the courses there in the summer. We did that then, and I taught school. My first school was at Upper Crossroads, seven grades. That was the thing then. The school was not there. And the next time, I was there 2 years, and the superintendent sent me to Perryman, which was a two-room school. And I just had a certain number of grades, you know, and the other teacher was principal.
What do you remember about your own school, the one you went to as a child? There's a place to tie the horses and so forth?
Oh, we walked. We didn't have...
I'm sorry. You said that you rode to high school.
High school.
You took your horse to high school, right.
At Jarrettsville.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're on a roll now, aren't you?
Thank you, Neil.
Okay, I'm going to work. I'll see you after a while.
And, honey, I put a box on the top. He lives just across the road.
So let's start with when you were in school as a young girl. What were your responsibilities at home? Did you help your mother with the canning, or?
I helped. Well, you'd never believe this, but we were on a farm, and as soon as we got old enough, we'd help carry the water from the spring. We had a stone spring house up across the field, and we carried the water down there. We had no running water then, when I was a child, and. Then when I got a little larger, we helped milk the cows. But we always went, my younger sister and I, or my older sister really, than I, took the cows across the road to the big meadow. Winter's Run went through the meadow, so we didn't have to carry water. And at night, we'd bring them over and put them in the stable to be milked, in the barn to be milked.
And you did that on by foot, or were you on horseback when you were doing that?
Oh, no, just across the road.
Mm-hmm. So you moved the horse.
It's a big barn.
And you were walking while you moved the cows.
Yes. And then when I got a little older and learned how, I helped milk. We had one cow, And then as we got older, well, I had two calves. And then as I got, well, maybe near to high school, we'd have three apiece, my mother and my two sisters and I. And we just expected to do it. We did all that work and then went up for breakfast in the morning and then went to school. Lots of children would think that was kind of hard now these days, but we enjoyed it. It was, and we each had our own cow. Raised it from a calf, you know, and then when it got old enough, well, we'd sell it for our school money, you see. And when I went to high school, that was at Jarrettsville. I graduated second in my class, and it was hard those days. Some days I had to walk because my father was using the horses 5 miles. And after I graduated, I took the course at the Johns Hopkins University. I boarded on Charles Street, came home every week. I think I remember 2516 North Charles. We walked 3 or 4 blocks up to the university. And I taught first a one-room school, and then I went to Perryman, two-room school. And then after that, I was married. I love teaching. I just love the children. I still do. And what now?
Well, how did you meet your husband? Tell me that.
Well, now let me see. I met him when I went to Perryman. Oh. You wouldn't know where the Methodist Church is. I went to the Methodist Church with the lady where I boarded, and he was there. And he knew, I found out afterwards, that I went with the lady. So anyway, I met him at Cranberry Methodist Church, and I taught at Perryman 2.5 years, I guess it was. Yes, two years and a half, or maybe three. I've forgotten now. Anyway, I taught Perryman until I was married. And then we rented a house on Route 22 up near Churchville. And meantime, we were looking for a place, and this is what we found. We moved to the minister that married us said we went straight to paradise.
Because you're on Paradise Road.
Yes, we went on Paradise Road. We were here in 23, January 23, so we were married in 22 then. And all the children were born here. My husband died here and two children. Well, one child, the other boy was married and lived next door. He died. We lost two children then, but the girl that he married lives still next door. She married a wonderful boy, and he's just like our own. So I've been here, raised the children, and we had chickens, and we had a big garden, and my husband was a builder, contractor and builder. And we worked, all of us worked hard, but we loved it. We had two cows and four pigs, had a pig pen out back, and 10 acres for the cows to roam on and eat grass. And I had 100 or 150 chickens. I raised little ones.
Tell me what it was like raising your family on the farm here. You say you worked hard, but what was that work involved?
Well, it was taken care of. You see, we had no dishwasher. We had no washing machine. I had the washboard. By the way, I have it right there with fix for flowers. I washed on the washboard for the children. It wasn't any task, we expected that. That's the way people did. And if we were real proud when we hung the clothes out that they were clean and white, you know, the ones that were supposed to be. And of the children, as they grew older, they all had their little jobs and they all helped. And when they got big enough, they kept their rooms straight, you know. But they very seldom made the beds unless I would help them. They couldn't reach across, you know. And they went to school when time came. And they all graduated from high school, every one of them, except Lois. She passed on. And my daughter, Ruth, studied to be a teacher, and she finally married a minister, and they live in Pennsylvania, right on the edge, Pennsylvania, where they still live. And of course, Charles, the one you met here, is he works, what would I say, with wells. He drills wells, has a well driller, and he tests wells, and he does all that sort of thing. And
tell me how it was different for your children to grow up here than it was for you to grow up in this area.
Well, they had so much more. In the meantime, we had water in the house, we got a bathroom, we had all those, never a dishwasher, never. We took care of that very nicely. But the children had so much more, you know, they, so much more than what we ever had, either my husband or myself. They grew up sort of expecting it, you know. And now, of course, they all have their dishwashers and their this and that. Of course, there's only the two, Charles and Ruth, now. But they're both doing well.
How many children did you have altogether?
Four. Four. And Glenn, the youngest boy, didn't die until he had two of his own. He lived next door. Charlie built the house. My husband built the house. And he had three boys when he died, three babies.
Mm.
He had the cancer. He was hurt. And hurt in the service, and it developed into a cancer, you see. So when I wouldn't listen to any of that D-Day.
No.
I lived through that.
He served in World War II?
They all have done well, and they have a good living, and are very happy in their work. Whatever. Charles loves his work. Night and day he goes. He loves it. He's inventing now something about the well, doing something about making, getting the water or something.
Tell me about some of the changes that you've seen in Harford County.
How many what?
Tell me about some of the changes that you've seen in Harford County.
I've seen the first school.
Tell me about
where
that.
I went to one-room schools, all go, except one. I only know of one, and that's in Darlington, and it's a stone 8 square. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm. I've seen it.
Well, that's the only one I know that's left. All the others are gone. And this, we bought Labadum School, my husband, as I told you, was a builder. And these stone around the flower bed came from the foundation of that school, Portiposite granite. And the two slabs out here were the doorsteps into that school. My husband loved schools, and he liked the children to learn and study and all that. And he put these as a reminder, never dreaming that I would one day live here, you know. This was a double garage. And they put the two stone right here where I'd walk over them. And the walk in over home is supported by a deposit ground as a flat stone from that building. And let's see, I've seen the change in ministers at the church, and we have had, never before, but here lately, we've had two lady ministers, and we never had one before. Mm-hmm. And we have a colored man in our church now. He's high in the military.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what he is, a lieutenant. Is there a lieutenant colonel? Well, anyway, but a something very good, very fine person. And that we never had in there, but everybody accepted him, which was wonderful. And the schools have grown. Of course, our children went to Aberdeen High School, but oh my, it has grown so, you know, it was just a you might say a baby high school. Now it's grown up. And they all graduated, and Ruth and Charles, well, Ruth graduated from college. But Charles went to this college, you know, to learn what he was going to do. The drilling business and water, with water. And of course the other boy died. But he had a fine job at the proving ground. He did well. And I don't know, things have changed. This road, when we moved here in 1923, January, it was a dirt road between Aberdeen and up at the corner. They were all dirt roads, except the main ones like 22 and in town toward Baltimore. 22 was a pike, but not like it is today.
And you used to ride those on a horse and buggy?
Yeah, when I was home, yes, mm-hmm. But not after I was married. We had one of the first Fords. My husband was so tickled to have a car, you know, and we had a, they called them flivvers, and let me see, what was I going to say? When we moved here, this house hadn't had anyone in it for, oh, several months and need a lot of repair. Well, we worked on that. We couldn't hire it done because, well, you know, we hadn't the money. And that counts. And he established his business by working hard and doing good work. Many of the places around here he built. The brick house up the road, three or four of them up there he built, beside Aberdeen, all around. And he specialized in good work. He didn't hire anybody if they didn't do right. And the boys, two of the boys who are still in our church, I call them boys, they're men. They started with him and learned the trade.
And what are their names?
Carol Craig and Lee Bowman. Yes, they both learned. They couldn't finish high school. Their fathers died.
Oh.
Charlie took them, you know, and helped them. And he just, well, he loved them like his own boys. And they still go to our church, they and their families. In fact, Carol brings me home every Sunday morning from church. I go with my next door neighbor, who is my daughter-in-law, and she stays at Sunday school. Carol brings me home. So he's still my boy. And
tell me about the work you did with your husband on the house.
The what, dear?
When you worked on the house.
This house?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Did you work on it together?
Well, no, I'm not a carpenter. But Charlie would bring, if he had like a pouring down rain that he couldn't work outdoors, he'd bring the men in here. Of course, we had them to pay. But then they knew what to do, and they did work faster than someone that didn't know what they were doing. We had plastering to do. We had to put a new roof on. with several windows were broken, they had to be put in. And, what we did, as we got the money, we did a few rooms at a time. There's, I think, 11 rooms, and then the third floor and the basement. And we had to put rain spout. We had to practically, as we knew the house, not the old-time people that owned it, but the next generation made it really livable, and it's a lovely home now. And let me see, we had a garden right up in the corner here. We had an orchard, and we had a big garden, and I took care of the garden. Of course, Charlie plowed and cultivated, but I've hoed and gathered the stuff in, helped plant, you know, did all that.
And did you can?
And what?
Did you can things?
Honey, we lived out of the basement. We had a big swinging shelf clear across. Well, you know, this house is pretty big. There was a swinging shelf clear across the basement. And if I didn't have that full for the winter while we were scared, I canned, I preserved, I jellied. Oh, and I'll show you when we go out. We made apple butter. There's a fly. He must have come in when I held the door open. My apple butter kettle that I used to make apple butter, we made it twice out of our own apples. It's right out there now, full of flowers, and has two birds in it. I'll show you.
I'd like to see
well,
that.
And we had our cows. My Charlie would bring a flour and meal and that sort of thing. I made bread twice a week, light bread and cornbread. We had every other night hot cornbread, except Saturday. Saturday and Sunday, I didn't make cornbread. I had that other kind. And I made butter. We had two cows. I made butter. We had butter, our own milk. Oh, and I made cottage cheese. You know cottage cheese. Well, I made it from scratch. Butter and milk. And of course, we had cream, or I couldn't have made the butter. I made my own bread. And meantime, Charlie was working for this head carpenter. And then as soon as he got enough of, knowledge and understood the business, he went in for his own. And he had, as I say, these two boys, and oh, I guess we had six or eight men when he retired. Well, he didn't retire, he died. But he worked himself up, and are you going back toward Aberdeen?
No, I'll go back out of church.
Well, I was going to say.
Come in. You ready yet?
Oh. How we lived and set the table and everything of our own making right here on the place.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can remember that.
Milk and butter and, of course, cream and things out of the garden, and you don't remember that big swinging shelf in the basement, do you?
Oh, yeah, we used to go out and get cans of meat and saw them out and jump them out in the skillet.
Whatever I put up that big swinging thing had to be full, or I thought we'd be hungry.
Tomatoes.
Do you still have it there, Charles?
Yeah, it's still in there.
Great Scott, I thought it was gone, but
yeah. Well, you're okay, are you?
Okay, honey, and bless your heart. They come in a couple, three times a day, he and my grandson, and my daughter-in-law, to see that I'm all. First thing in the morning, he comes to the door, 6:30, and the last thing at night. I told you he does well, takes care of the water. He's fixing pump now that pumps the water. I mean the engine. What else is
Well, what's the biggest change that you've seen in Harford County?
Well, To start with, I would say the roads. People used to get axle deep, you know, in the mud, and they would get stuck. And if it would come a flood, they couldn't cross Winter's Run or any of the places where they had to go through. But, of course, later, I don't know how old I was when they put a bridge. I think I was in high school when they put a bridge across Winter's Run. And you know what they're doing now? Traffic is stopped there. They're putting a going and coming bridge. Would you believe it, on Winter's Run? I want to go see it when they finish. The road shut off now. Phillips's Mill, that was named for my father. That shut off until the bridge.
What was your father's name?
Albert.
Albert Phillips?
Yes, Albert McVeigh Phillips. And my mother was Elizabeth Ann. There's some place. Can you see anybody?
The pictures?
There's my grandmother. Mm-hmm. Her name was Elizabeth Ann, too. My mother was named for. Now, these are our children and grandchildren.
Well, let's still talk for a little bit, and then we can look at pictures. On the way out, maybe.
Okay, now what else?
Well, I want to know what you remember most about the changing in Harford County. The roads have
really changed. Well, the roads, I would think, would come first. That made so much easier traveling. And if it would come a flood, you couldn't cross Winter's Run. Had three places where you cross. The road went this way, you know. And you just couldn't, if you had to cross it, you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You waited till the water went down. And when we got fine roads and bridges.
Do you remember the railroad, Ma and Pa Railroad?
Well, we didn't have much to do with that until I went to school. I went to Hopkins on the Ma and Pa, we called it.
Mm-hmm.
I would go a Monday or Sunday evening. It was too early to go Monday. Sunday evening, and then I'd come home Friday. Not evening, afternoon, I'd say. And I'd come home on Friday evening and stay the weekend. Let me see, it would be... And then, of course, they took me in a horse and buggy to Forest Hill to the railroad station. Then the next change would be automobiles coming and water in the house. And by the way, at my home we had the first, because the spring was sort of up above the house, like it was a regular old time spring house, you know, stone. And they had, my father put these pipes in the ground, and we had running water, and we didn't shut it off. It went in this great big sink and then on down to Winter's Run. Pipe, but it had a mill and went down to the race bank, a race with water. And then we had lamps, of course. That's one of them right there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's electrified right now. That was one of my mother's. Doris, my daughter-in-law, electrified it and brought it over to me the other day. The big thing was to get water in the house. We were the first because of a natural flow. Mm-hmm. And, well, let me see. The horse and buggy changed to the Ford. And then the
how did you get your
lamps changed to electric?
Mm-hmm. How did you get your first car? The one you and your husband got? Was it new?
That was new, yes. Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty big deal buying a new car.
Oh, and he was so proud of that. And I learned to run it, well, after the children. No, I never drove the flipper. I didn't drive until after the children got big enough. I took care of them, held them on my lap, and Charlie drove. And then when I learned to drive that, oh my, and I
can use them for educational purposes to see what it was like.
Well, yeah, and I went from carrying water from the spring. As I say, ours was the first to have water, mm-hmm. but that was an accident, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We went from pumps run by electricity. Oh, we got electricity first,
mm-hmm.
but not for a long time.
About when did you get electricity?
Oh, my, I don't think I can, without looking it up, I don't think okay. I could tell you.
You don't remember about what year it was? Was it before or after World War One?
Oh, it was before that.
Mm-hmm.
They had electricity, I reckon, up home when I was married. That was in 22.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just lights, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what else was it? That's all I remember, just the lights. But then when we were married and moved here, we had water in the house, we had a bathroom. We had a bathroom up home, but we never had it fitted. And the room is still there, but it has a bathroom now. We got a bathroom here and water in the house. And then in about 8-10 years we were burnt out. We lost everything except the house. And the wind was that way. In place of coming this way, or we'd lost the house. So then we started all over again. I mean, as far as it burned a lot of the machinery and the car. And
how did the fire start?
Oh, we had a fire department by then.
But how did it start? How did the fire start?
We never did know. We never did find out. We thought somebody was smoking and stealing gas. That's what we thought.
From the stealing gas from the car?
Yes.
So the fire started around the car?
In this garage right here. Of course, this was the way it was before it burned, but it started in this end of the building where the car was. And we always thought that it was somebody that was getting gas, you know, because we... And then later, we got gas tanks out here. We had our... of course, we bought it, but you know what I mean? We'd go to the gas tank for the cars and trucks, Charlie's trucks and things.
About what year was that? Do you remember?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. Without looking it up.
Was that after World War II?
No. No. It was before the boys went into the service. The place burned when they were small.
Uh-huh.
They were, Charles, the one that was here, I reckon he was probably 3 or 4. He was about 3, and Ruth was 4, and Glenn was younger than that.
And how old is he now?
Charles is 67.
Okay.
And Ruth is 69, and Glenn was a year younger, and Lois was 5 years younger. Look at my flower.
It's just beautiful.
That only blooms in the daytime. Pretty soon it'll go to sleep.
So are there any other big events like that fire that you remember from living here? Do you remember the Depression?
Well, I think everybody would remember that. But you see, what helped us, we had a big orchard, we had a big garden, I had my chickens, and we always had 4 pigs and 2 calves. We had a small, on 10 acres, we had a small farm. And we practically had our own living, and I worked hard to make things so we wouldn't have to buy. I put up everything up at the stock, and the eggs we had, I took to market. I had a regular route. I sold my eggs and some butter. They wanted more, but I couldn't let them have it, you know. I needed it for home. I only had 3 or 4 pounds to sell a week. And of course, I did my own churning. And you might say, we were self-sufficient here. But we had to work hard to get that way.
Do you remember how much you got for your eggs and your butter, how much they paid you?
As I remember, I don't remember about the butter, but the eggs were 15 cents a dozen.
They paid you 15 cents a dozen?
15 cents.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. And now, what do you pay, $1 and something a dozen?
Yeah.
I don't buy them. Oh, in fact, I don't use eggs. Mm-hmm. I use substitute. And we had, we were really self-sufficient, you know. Oh, and Charlie, of course, drilled our well. We had an old wooden well when we came here. Anyway, we have a nice one now, and water in the house. And when we got water in the house, that was a big event. And the bathroom, I can remember the children. I guess if they had been fighting children, they would have fought on who would get the first bath. But they didn't. They took turns. And I was thankful for that.
You drew one bath and then they took turns. Was it oldest to youngest or youngest to oldest?
Yes. That's the way they took it. Ruth got the first one. Of course, Charlie and I got the first one.
Mm-hmm.
That was at night, of course. I mean, after the children were in bed. And then Ruth got the first. And that's, they always worked it that way. There never was any fuss. They were so tickled to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a big thing out here for the calves. Not a thing. A big trough, like, for the cows to drink out of. And it's still out there. When you go out, you'll see it. It's slate. And the fence used to be on this side of it. And they would come and drink it. It's still there. The thing where you turned it on over home in the house. And the water would run in that, and the calves would come and drink. Of course, the pigs, we had to carry it to them, and the chickens. But we had the big tanks for the chickens. Fill that with water. That mostly, I had 2 or 3 of them. That mostly lasted all day. And I had a big chicken yard. And the next thing, let me see, with the road. And then came the cars. And now you're scared crossroad. And then came airplanes. I've been up in an airplane, but I don't want to go anymore, and I didn't like it. I'd rather stay on the ground. It's wonderful, just wonderful, but I'd rather stay on the ground. Airplanes, and then came submarines, and all the things on the water that they have now.
When did you go up in an airplane?
Let me see, we lived in, I believe I went up in Pennsylvania, there was a Charlie and I, to it was some kind of an affair or something, and he wanted to go so badly, and I knew he wouldn't go without me, so I went. But I didn't really like it, and I don't think he did, because he never went anymore. I mean, we're grand people. And what else is...
What did you do for social events?
Well, we had our church. We attended the church. We attended all of the to-dos that they had in the church. We had supper a couple of times a year. That was the late years. We didn't have much time for socializing, but after they got the Golden Age, I was a charter member for that. And we have our dinner tomorrow, noontime. And they've invited me as a special guest, because I haven't been able to go. I had no way. So we're to go tomorrow for the Golden Age. 50 year, I believe it's the 50th year. I'm not real sure, but I think I belong for 50 years. And we enjoy going to church and Sunday school. We taught our children. And my daughter married a minister, and Charles's daughter married a minister. They live in Virginia. And they all were brought up in the church. And that was what we all loved, you know, to go and meet our friends and enjoyed Sunday school and all that.
Did you ever go to dances at the...
The children went to camp, and I never did.
Mm-hmm.
That was before my day. But Ruth liked the church camp. Charles never cared for that. He went into the service, and
Your son, Charles.
Yes. Charles and Glenn both were in the service. Mm-hmm. If you noticed, of course you wouldn't notice, but Charles doesn't swing his left arm. He was shot in the elbow. But he never says anything about that. Nobody ever says anything. We were lucky to have him home. And then when he and Doris were married, we built them a house over on the other road. And then, of course, when Charlie died, I was there by myself, so Charles and Doris took the home place, and they fixed the 2-car garage for me. That's the way I wanted it. I don't want to be a trouble to them, you know. I want them to have their life. So, and they're so good to me, both of them. Doris brought me those roses yesterday, and that picture was my grandmother. You know, used to have before you had a bathroom, you had a washbone picture set. Well, that was the little picture. I didn't get the rest of it. I don't know who got that, but that was my grandmother's. I got that one piece.
And what was her name?
Her name was Elizabeth Ann.
Her last name was?
Poteet. Poteet, that's French. So my mother was part French and part English. But they were both Elizabeth Ann. But mother never was called Ann. She wanted to be called Annie. So that's what people called her. But she was Elizabeth Ann. They called her Ann. Of course, I never knew her. That was my mother's mother. I think you call that a daguerreotype. No, that shuts up. I forget. That's painted on glass. I forget what they call that. It's too far back for me.
It's quite beautiful. So what other changes have you seen in Harford County?
Well, the people, there's so much change. They're foreign, so many foreign people, and so many, many houses being built. I don't know what they're going to do with so many houses. Between here and Havre de Grace used to be farm lands. Now it's house lands, all houses, way up in the air, and they're just thrown up. They weren't built like my husband built them. And that's the truth. That's not bragging, that's the truth. Very poor work, you can tell as you drive along. Anyway, the place is overgrown with houses and with people, and especially foreigners. So many foreigners. I have nothing against foreigners if they behave themselves. But we're having trouble with them. Now they're killing one another and shooting one another, and there's a big trial thing on the television. I don't look at that though. I look at The Price is Right and Jeopardy. I like those two, and the news, I like it, the certain news in the evening. Tom Brokaw. I can never, because of course he's part Indian, you know. Now I like to listen to him. He tells it as he is, and he don't enlarge upon it. He tells it and then quits. That's what I like.
What about before television? Did you all have a radio? Did you used to listen to the radio shows?
I had, we had a radio, and we had the first television on Paradise Road. It wasn't like that, you know, it wasn't, I don't suppose, more than like that. Mm-hmm. But we enjoyed that at night, and the children, and they didn't have those wild stories and terrible things on television. We let them look at the plays and the children's things. We let them, but they knew what they couldn't look upon. So they never lacked for something to do, you know. They had their lessons, that was first. Then they could look at television. Certain time they had to go to bed and get up a certain... You see, when our children were ready for high school, why, the bus came by. That was a rare thing. And we have eight buses down this road now. Of course, they go on down. They don't stop at Aberdeen. They come back to it. But our children rode the bus. But they didn't go to Aberdeen. They went up here to the corner. Mm-hmm. There was no bus down here. It came the other way. Our children got on the bus up at the corner and went to Havre de Grace. And that was a big change. My goodness. Riding that bus. Ruth loved that. Well, I think the boys did too. But Ruth really enjoys things like that.
What do you remember about teaching in this area?
Well, I taught at Upper Crossroads in the upper end of the county and at Perryman. And we worked then with the children, you know, and taught. We taught them. But nowadays, I'm awful afraid a lot of it they maybe don't get. Well, that's not my business. I don't teach now.
Did you have any special students?
Have what?
Dear? Any special students? Students who were special to you?
They all were. I loved every one of them. And there were a couple that I had trouble with. But when they grew up, they even had trouble. They wouldn't listen. But then, I hope they've learned by now. But I loved them, and Perryman, some of the big names in Perryman, I taught their fathers. It seems funny, I'm 95. It seems funny, but when you think back. And now I have three little girls. Well, I love all of the Sunday school children. I love all of them. But I have three that are 3 years old each, and they're kind of special. And I take a little something for them each Sunday. Maybe cookies or a candy bar, just something so it's wrapped up. They like to unwrap it. And I don't know you. And my grandchildren are very special, and I have great grands, you know. Now, this boy was my grandchild. One of them. I have eight. And I have a bunch of great grands. My first great grand went to high school this fall. He was named for my son. And I look up to him. I just can't imagine, but he's gotten a big boy. And I was going to say, my daughter-in-law, after my son died, would you like that door shut, dear? And then you
No.
Okay. After my son died, she remarried. And of course, we took him for our own. And he is one of the nicest boys. I call him a boy, a man. He is so good to me and so good to Glenn's children, my son's children. They're just like his own, you know. And how often do you get anything like that? Dear, would you to put the window down? Because you may sit there.
It's fine.
We've been very fortunate in that he's like that, you know.
Are there any other family stories that you can remember from when you were a young girl or a young woman in this area?
Well, I don't know what like. I remember my grandfather on my mother's side. That's all. I don't remember any of the rest of them. They were gone. But he was one of these gentlemen that you had to sit real quiet, you know, not say anything. And a fine-looking person. He had a goatee, I remember that. White and beautiful white curly hair. And when we went to see him, Mother went every Saturday evening or Sunday evening. And we had to sit right on that chair just so. All Mother had to do was just look at us, and we wouldn't dare laugh or anything. And once in a great while, if we were especially good, I don't know what the occasion, but he'd give us a cookie. And you know, we didn't get many cookies. Mother would make cake, but she never made cookies. She wouldn't have time. He bought these little store cakes, he called them. Give you one. And oh, we were so pleased to get one. But I remember what a grand looking person he was. And that cookie, that's the only thing I remember about.
What kind of cookies were they?
What kind
were they?
Oh, I wouldn't know. It was round, that's all I remember. And maybe it wasn't even a cookie, but it seemed to be rather thick. I just don't know what kind it would be. But we thought they were great. And my mother, when she went to housekeeping, just went across the meadow to my father's place, Phillips's Mill Road. It wasn't that then. It didn't even have a name. It was just a road. But after he went to run the mill and own the mill, it was called Phillips's Mill Road, and it still is. but, and I remember my mother's sister. We used to like her so much. And I remember the first automobile I told you about that. But we had nice horses. We would drive to church, drive to Forest Hill to the store. We didn't know anything else, you know. And I rode horseback to school. I rode horseback before I could, not before I could walk, but pretty soon I was riding, you know.
Did you use a saddle or did you ride it bare?
When I was little, I rode bareback, but I had an English saddle that belonged to my grandmother, a side saddle. Now you would never know what that was anymore. It was leather and it came from England. They were English. And I had that. I reckon it's still up home.
And you rode,
in fact, I'm sure it is.
You rode side saddle.
What?
Did you ride side saddle then?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, Mother wouldn't think about letting me go to school any other way. Yes, that was the way we rode.
And
then many a time I walked it.
And when you got to school, what did you do with the horse?
Well, we had a friend who was a minister in the Methodist church there, and he had a barn, and we paid him, and I don't think it was $100 a month, you know, but we gave him either garden things or money for keeping the horse in the barn. And then I'd get him out and hook him up to the buggy or the runabout at night. But we always gave him something for keeping the horse. Mr. Evans, or Reverend Evans, he was a minister there at the Methodist Church. And not the big Methodist Church, but the other one. As you enter, next to Taylor's, the marble cutting place, the tombstone man, we called him Mr. Taylor. Well, they live next door. And I remember I was thinking, well, I won't tell that.
Tell me.
That wasn't very good. I wouldn't tell that to go on here. Reverend Evans, if it was raining, he would come out and help me. I thought that was so nice of him. Of course, they were gone long ago. And Mr. Charles Schuster was the principal. He lived up above Jarrettsville, up above the school. He was a principal and a very fine person. He married a friend of my mother's. And we always felt they were kind of special because we knew her, you know, or my mother knew her. And the most of the change, as I say, was the road and the manner of, the manner of going places. Yeah. I can't think of the word I want.
Transportation?
That's right. The manner of transportation changed so from walking to horses to cars, and now airplanes and boats on the river, all kinds, on the waterways. And then electric came, of course, and when that came down our road, my father gave the poles, and also for the telephone, gave the trees so to make their poles, and gave the ground and everything for them to come so we could get the telephone and everybody else on the road. And it was a mile in there, mile to our place. And then we got electric light, then we had wood stoves and we burned wood, then we got an electric stove. And oh my, was that ever something. I never had electric at home. We got it here. Electric stove and then a microwave oven, and I have a little one here. Big one that I left over home. First I had a range, wood burning, then coal burning, and then electric. Oh, coal oil came in between. Wood and coal oil stove has three burners, and then electric, and then microwave. Look at that, four changes. I never thought of that.
Just to cook a turkey.
Well, isn't that funny? I never thought of that until just then. That's four changes. And then when we got the pump in over here, the outside pump, oh, that was wonderful. We could carry the water to the cows. Now all they do is turn on the spigot.